August is Make a Will Month, and if TPR has made a difference in your life, consider making it part of your legacy. Visit tpr.org/legacy to learn how easy it can be to include Texas Public Radio in your estate plans.
Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. People with deep, long ties to the U.S. Southwest and South Texas may have lost that connection to the land and with their ancestors. Poet and activist Selena Gonzalez writes about the forgotten blessings from her ancestors and the indigenous ties to the earth. Her newest publication is the children's picture book Of the Sun, a poem for the land's first peoples. It originated as a poem first shared with Texas Public Radio in 2020. She returns to Texas Public Radio to talk to us on Fronteras about the book and about the ways we can reconnect to the pathways that have been lost to time and colonization. She starts by reciting the poem that's elaborately illustrated in the book Of the Sun.
Of the Sun, a poem for the land's first people. Child of the sun, you've been blessed since birth. Your skin is akin to our brown Mother Earth. She kisses your hands and guards every step. Even in dreams, you are carefully kept. For a promise was made to ancestors before you, who brought life to the land with the blessings they grew. Corn, avocado, squash and tomatoes, chocolate, vanilla, beans and potatoes. Thousands came to these lands looking for a new life. For some it meant riches, for others much strife. But the land is the keeper of original story. She protects all the tribes who celebrate her glory. Your people were here since the first rising sun. Your tie to la tierra cannot be undone. Mestiza, Hispanic, Latinx, Chicano, illegal, Indian, migrant, Mexicano. Whatever they call you is merely a name. Your culture, your story, remains just the same. Flags will fly, maybe die, and leaders will change. But your bond to this land will always remain. From Yamana down south to Inuit in the north, the land's first peoples will keep pushing forth to survive and to thrive despite changing days, holding on to your customs while learning new ways. If you've planted your roots or journeyed quite far, always remember deep down who you are. Indigenous, native, on this land you may roam. Child of the sun, on this land, you are home.
Well, I wouldn't know how this poem, what inspired it, and how it eventually evolved to become this beautiful picture book.
Oh, that's a great question. So I initially read this poem on Texas Public Radio. I believe it was 2020, and it was Hispanic Heritage Month. And a friend in the community reached out to me and said, hey, TPR is looking for some poets. Do you have something to share? And I said, I do. And I wondered if Hispanic Heritage Month was the best time to share it. But I feel like even the term Hispanic, right, which has evolved into Latino, Latine, Latinx, it's a complicated term that so many people, even outside the culture and within the culture, grapple with. But for me, I was raised with this strong sensibility and identity, or identifying with our mestiza heritage, right? That is a mixture, a biracial culture that is part Spanish for us, right? And for the majority of people who are labeled Mexican-American, Hispanic, Latinx, right? 80-something, 85% is usually the figures that I read, where we are part European, typically Spanish, right? And indigenous. And so many of us are detribalized that we don't, for various reasons, do not identify with our indigenous heritage. But it's such a strong part of our identity that I felt like this poem, which was new then, it was fresh then, and I think I had written it in response to the horrors that were occurring then and are, you know, have really even stepped up now, right? Where children were being separated from their parents at the border, brown children, children with indigenous roots to this continent who were being treated in this awful way.
I was seeing all of this on social media. And, you know, during this time, we were locked down, right? It was the early days of the pandemic. And so that was the media that we were encountering and feeling a little bit helpless or a lot helpless. And so for me, as an artist, as a writer, that was a response, you know, something that I could share on a stage one day. I saw it more as spoken word, something that I could share on a spoken word stage. And I had visions of creating a video with some of these images that I was seeing of the separation and what I envisioned as a return, you know, bringing these families together. So I wrote that and I felt like this was a good time to share it, even though the way the book is packaged now is First Peoples, Indigenous people who are Hispanic might not always see the tie, but I always have. And I felt like that was a good time to share it.
Well, I think it's also really interesting what you just said, that, you know, we have these Indigenous ties and these European ties, and there are people, I guess, like myself, where we know we have an Indigenous past, but there's no way for us to actively identify with it. I'm positive that Mexican Indigenous is in my background, but worse, you are a member of the Coahuilteca Nation here in San Antonio. But there are so many of us Mexican Americans who don't have that connection. And maybe that makes us feel a little uncomfortable in embracing that, because we don't know how that may come across to other people who do have a true Indigenous connection. What, I'm curious what you might think about that.
Right. I understand. I have pretty strong opinions on that. And and they don't always, there are people who don't agree with me, and that's okay. But the way I see it, Norma, is that we can't help being detribalized, right? Like, that is not something that we had any kind of control over. It is an effect of colonization, right, and separate, like these same sort of systems that are at play now, right? And the way I sometimes view it is that, you know, no one asks Black folks to say, like, hey, well, who's your tribe in Africa? You know what I mean? Nobody is expected to know that, because they suffered a different horror in their ancestral past, right? And so this idea to, like, prove that in some way is a little bit appalling to me. We can, you know, look at our, like, our DNA tests, which I know are also problematic. But, like, for mine, it shows, I think, about a 50% of Native blood in this territory or in this continent. And so a big part of that, like, even on the map and that I know of, is Coahuila. But Coahuila, or the Coahuiltecos, right, that, if you look at the region that the Coahuiltecos lived and existed, half of it is in what is now Texas, and half of it is what is now Mexico. And so that's a perfect example of, like, the meaninglessness of these borders, right? And how a lot of that was erased, especially in this area, in this frontera, in Texas, right? Like, a lot of the history in Texas is obviously complicated, different from the rest of the United States, but this was the final battleground, and it's such a vast land. We have five missions here in San Antonio alone, once known as Yanawana to some of the tribes. So we know there was a lot of Native people in these lands, but why don't we have a ton of reservations the way we do in other parts of the U.S.? That's because they fought hard here, right? We know that the Comanches were a huge threat. By all historical accounts, they kind of held the ground. They were, the way I see it, right, the Palestinians of that time. They were the last ones to say, hey, no, this colonization is not going to happen. And it was problematic. It's in all of the historical letters, right? All of Texas, like, our whole history was shaped by that. So how are we going to know, right? Like, how are there only a couple of federally recognized? Like, there's a reason that they weren't federally recognized. They were, like, really trying to kind of get us all out of there. And then, of course, it being Mexico at one point and Texas at another point. So it's a complicated past. And so the fact that other tribes, for whatever reasons, made those agreements and those deals, whether they, because I don't think that was easy for any tribe, but just because those folks are able to connect to those tribes, does that make other people who are detribalized any less Native? Or let's say on the other side of the colonizers' borders, right? Like, in Mexico, there are more than 60, I think close to 70, living Native languages. That means they never went anywhere. These languages still exist. And so can anyone say, oh, no, they're Mexicans, they're illegals, they're Indian? these are Native American people, and we don't see it that way. Even in the publishing world, I have had these tough conversations with some folks who are like, oh, we're going to start a Native imprint. So these are people who have Indigenous ties in the U.S. or in Canada. So what about south of the border? Like, when does that come into play? Oh, well, and so, you know, it's been really interesting. Like, I've been at a Native writers retreat, and there was a lot of these conversations that took place. And this was an online retreat, again, during the shutdown days. And I remember the publishers, I made them very uncomfortable. I won't say who it was, because they were all very kind people, but they just don't get it. They don't get it because we don't always get it, right? Like, the history, again, is complicated. It's a matter of survival to be able to, at some point in history, for your family to identify as closer to Spanish, to privilege that white skin, right? Like, there are opportunity, there is access, there is survival in some cases. And so there's a reason that historically we are taught to forget that past, to shy away from that past. But our skin gives it away, you know? And I've also, there's a lot of other writers, like, in my community here and in the wider community of in publishing, who agree with me, who have trouble with the whole Latinx blanket, right? Or who want to connect more and say, hey, I'm Chicana, I'm Mestiza. So, like, we kind of find each other by some of those terms. But there was this one writer who was wanting to make a case in this book of hers about Latinidad, or Latino being its own race. And, you know, we read each other's manuscripts, and I politely, like, challenged her on that point. I said, hey, like, this is complicated, and this is why, right? And so she brought up some of the same questions that you did, and I was giving some of the answers that I'm giving now. But in her book, she had used this idea of the horrible shooting that happened in El Paso at that time, and it was at a Walmart. And I said to her, you know, this person who went in looking for Mexicans was not asking for papers. They were looking for brown skin. Same as these people. I was just in Chicago. They were taking people from Millennium Park. They were looking for brown skin, Norma. They were looking for people who look indigenous. We can't erase that. Maybe those stories are lost. Maybe the documentation is lost. But we know it by looking in the mirror.
Selena Gonzalez is a poet and activist in the Native and Latinx communities and is a member of the Tepilam Coahuiltecan Nation. Gonzalez is the author of the children's picture book Of the Sun, a poem for the land's first peoples. When we come back, Of the Sun was not intended to be a children's picture book when it was written more than 5 years ago.
When I initially scripted the poem, it was out of, you know, wanting to sort of alchemize this, like, anger, this frustration that I was feeling about brown people, of indigenous people being treated in this way. And I envision kind of sharing it, or spitting it, as you will, on a stage.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras.
Support for this podcast of Fronteras comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Selena Gonzalez's picture book, Of the Sun, a poem for the land's first peoples, is illustrated with the rich hues of nature. A mother holds her infant child in the opening pages. A tree's roots and a turquoise stream flow seamlessly through her braids. A bald eagle soars on the opposite page with turquoise in its wings and a red heart at its breast. The sun's streaming rays connect both figures. The poem that makes up the text of the book celebrates the brown skin that matches brown Mother Earth and the cultural and historic ties that will always hold the truths of its first peoples. The words are by Selena Gonzalez. The art is by Canadian Indigenous artist Emily Kawagashig. Gonzalez says the words and the imagery are meant to speak to children and adults.
So this is my fourth picture book. The previous three I created with Adriana M. Garcia, who's my friend and fellow Westsider in San Antonio. And all of the books that I have published are meant to mean something to an adult and to a child, and possibly different things, and hopefully grow with the young reader, right? Another way of looking at it is for the child and then for the child that lives within us, right? But it's going to mean something different depending on your age and experience. And all of my picture books do that. That's what I aim for. If it was just a simple sell, then I would have maybe 14 by now. But that's what I want. That's what I aim to do, is to have something that speaks to both. Because if a child loves a book, they're going to be a little obsessed with it. And they're going to have you read it over and over and over again. And so for me, there better be something for the adult as well, right? Because sometimes people will say, oh, you write children's books. And I'm like, no, I write picture books. You know, I just curated a show down the street at Centro de Artes, and it had all of Adriana's original paintings and picture book art from other illustrators, Latino illustrators. I wanted that art up on the walls because it's exquisite, but also because this idea of these books being only for children is ludicrous. Like, we go to art galleries, we buy coffee table books, we look at murals. Like, why are these books that are gorgeous only for children, right? And so, yes, the message is going to be there for the adults as well. When I initially scripted the poem, it was out of, you know, wanting to sort of alchemize this, like, anger, this frustration that I was feeling about brown people, of indigenous people being treated in this way. And I envision kind of sharing it, or spitting it, as you will, on a stage. Like, I've done that before, not a lot, right? But these were the shutdown days. So I shared it on TPR. I offered it. I was happy that it was aired. And I envisioned doing like a video that was like a montage of some of these disturbing images that we saw of families being separated and children being given these little blankets and, you know, all these things that I could go on and on, but we know what the images are, right? And trying to envision at the end of the video and in my own heart, like a reunion, a better treatment and recognition of the right to exist, and just a more fair result of this, you know, what we've done, which is essentially take advantage of immigrants with the subpar treatment and pay, right, on which our economy exists and has always existed under the United States, right? Anyways, so I saw it as a video. I saw it as a rap. I had a couple of rapper friends like practice it with me, and they were like, yeah, this is dope. Let's do it. And they tried some beats. And so, and I told them, and I believe I told TPR, and I also told, there was another website on which it appeared called A Book a Day. This was an organization in Philadelphia, and they worked with a lot of immigrant children from lots of different parts. And they said, hey, can you share something on this program? And I told them too. I was like, well, it might be a picture book. I always sort of saw it that way, because by that point I was publishing picture books. I did consider, you know, Adriana, because we had done three books together, and then the beautiful muralist Kat Cadena. I really love her art. I love sharing my work with local artists, because we breed good artists here, great artists in San Antonio. My fourth book for older readers is with Jose Sotelo Yamasaki, and so I wanted to do it again. But my publishers, they are Barefoot Books. They had been reaching out to this one fantastic indigenous artist, Emily Kewagishig. She's Anishinaabe. She's also a fantastic muralist and designer who is in Canada. And apparently they'd been sending her manuscripts for years. And this was the first one that she said, yes, I have to do this book. Because her art is wonderful, and because this idea that I'm trying to impart of from Yamana down south to Inuit of the north, like, there are so many more of us, and we need to be united in the way the Black community is united, really. Like, that's one way I like to look at it. We have to protect each other. Like, I understand the tribes holding on to their heritage. I understand the importance of that, absolutely, their language when they can. But also seeing this particular struggle on this frontera, it's shameful, you know? We also need to be concerned about a lot of these other atrocities that up north, right, like that the Canadian Indigenous people are grappling with. Like, we need to hold space for one another and see ourselves as connected, because I think it's important. I also think that when we start to see it that way, the struggle, what is happening on the border, it looks like something else, right? It begins to look like something. I mean, I'm thinking of apartheid South Africa. I know those are very different dynamics involved, but I think people have long struggled to understand why, big air quotes, Latinos feel a certain way about this immigration issue that than others do. I think part of it is familial connections, but some of it is also like, we see our brown people being treated in a certain way, and it's not right for various reasons. I also know the immigration struggle is a complicated one. My brother-in-law is Palestinian, and I, you know, went through the paperwork and the photos and all of that testimony. So I understand that that is a very complicated process, and there needs to be a better way and perhaps an easier, not perhaps, definitely an easier way, especially when families have been making their home here and contributing to the culture, the society, the workforce for decades in many cases, right? To allow an easier path to citizenship, migration has always been a part of the journey of every human, animals, plants. You know, what is being done is destructive to every living being on the frontera. And so for me, I don't know the answers. I don't know all the answers because I know it's complicated when it comes to immigration and politics and the money involved. But what hurts my heart is to allow these kids to sit in fear or to feel shameful or to feel less than. That's not right. And so for me, this book is, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a little bendición. It's protection. It's like, hey, you are beautiful. Your legacy is strong. You're connected to the land. You might have all these other things coming at you, but let the earth hold you. Let the sun shine upon you and feel proud of the skin that you're in. You know, you're brown and you're beautiful. And so that's my offering to the kids who might be struggling with that now, and really to all of us, you know, whether you're brown or not. All of my books are a message of self-love and feeling connected to something bigger than us.
Well, one thing that I really thought was kind of a really deep thought in this book was that, you know, it doesn't matter who's in charge, essentially. The land will always hold the original, your original story. And so that's exactly what you're talking about, that the memory of what has come and gone will remain with the land. And if we will it to do so, it will also stay with the inhabitants of the land.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I love some of the resources that we are able to share. Some of them came from me. Some of them came, a lot of them came from the publishers. But I mean, my initial thoughts were like, check out the land back movement, you know, try to wrap this poem and look, research more into the foods that were created. Because to me, that's tremendous. It's enormous, right? I was in college when I learned that our world has not seen a population boom as big as when the Europeans encountered the Americas, what is now the Americas. Our world saw a population boom that it had never seen before and hasn't since, simply because of the foods that were grown on this land. That alone, like, I like to talk to kids about that. Look at what your ancestors have done. Look at this connection to the land, because there's also freedom in that, right? In connecting with the land, whether it's just to admire, you know, a tree or a flower, but to grow. Ooh, I'm not a great gardener, but I do love it. I do try. You know, like there are these miracles around us, and there are these legacies that are a source of strength and pride.
Selena Gonzalez is a writer, storyteller, and activist whose latest picture book is Of the Sun, a poem for the land's first peoples. She's a member of the Tepilam Coahuilteca Nation. The book is based on a poem she first shared on Texas Public Radio in 2020. The book is illustrated by Anishinaabe artist Emily Kawagashig. See images from the book at tpr.org. Fronteras editors are Dan Katz and Yvette Benavides. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Thanks for listening.